skepticism.
Blog Talk Radio.
I just assure you that members of Congress will ask much tougher questions this afternoon when we meet with the president's team. And because a bad deal threatens the security of the American people, and we're going to do everything possible to stop it.
The FBI says it's treating the Chattanooga gunman as a homegrown violent extremist. Correspondent Alina Machado reports from Chattanooga.
Authorities are still waiting for a ballistics report, but according to preliminary information, they do not believe any of the service members died in friendly fire.
On Wall Street, the leading index is finishing down on the day. The Dow off 103 points, the NASDAQ down 42, the S&P off 7. I'm John Trout.
Here are the major rules for all KKNW Call to Win contests. After our contest's on-air cue to call, the first completed call received at 888-298-KKNW or number given at time of contest will be selected and verified as the winner. You can win a prize valued up to $100. To be eligible, you must be at least 18 years old, have not won in the last 30 days, and reside within the KKNW listening area. Complete contest rules are available at 1150KKNW.com. Good afternoon, Eric Reiner here with you on Alternative Talk, 11:50 a.m. Time now for a quick look at our weather outlook. Going to continue to be mostly cloudy through the rest of today. For a Thursday, we'll see morning clouds, but afternoon sunshine, highs around 78. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we've got a good chance of showers, with highs around 74 on Friday, 71 on Saturday.
Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KLCK FM 98.9 Digital HD3 Seattle.
Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk AM 1150. A fine summer day here in Seattle. Eric, how you doing today?
Hey, good afternoon, Joey. I am doing okay. And what a great day to take your dog for a walk because it's a little bit cooler this week.
Yeah, huh? It rained yesterday, and I think there were a lot of Seattleites that were like, oh, okay, everything is right in the world because it's been a while.
Yeah, we could use some showers. And it looks like this weekend we might actually get some. So,
really?
My yard is giving the yard equivalent to a thumbs up, I think, to that news. So.
Well, we have a really special show today. I think I feel that way most weeks, but this one is a bit of a emotionally tender subject. I have Michelle Nichols here with me in the booth. Welcome back to the show, Michelle.
Thank you, Julie.
And Michelle is the director of the AHELP Project, which is a local organization that supports people and their pets before, during, and after the end-of-life process. And we'll be talking towards the end of the show about what's going on within the organization. But what prompted this, asking Michelle to come on, and you were available too, which was great, kind of last minute, was that a friend of mine, her dog died suddenly last week, and she reached out to my wife and I to just let us know and kind of get some support. And it just really, I think, reminded me about how hard it is to go through this and that it was time to talk about this aspect of living with dogs again on the show, because it's been a while since I've talked about end of life and pet loss. And so joining us on the phone today is my friend Janice, who is the person whose dog died suddenly and unexpectedly last week. His name was Haas, and he was a very sweet, beautiful Doberman. So Janice, welcome to the dog show. Are you
there? Thanks, Julie.
All right.
I am. Thank you.
Good. So I know we've talked, you know, a bit over the week, and actually ran into you like for the first time in a long time, oddly, a couple days ago in Seattle. But I just thought, you know, to have you come on and contribute to this show, since you were the, you know, inspiration for doing, you know, having the subject matter on this week, and to just share as much as you'd like about, you know, what happened so that it might benefit somebody else who, you know, goes through something similar with their dog, and to just, you know, also talk about the topic of grief and you know, as much as you'd like to get into it. So just thought I'd have you start off and just tell us a bit about Haas.
Thanks for having me. It's been a rough week.
Yeah.
We got Haas when he was just a baby. He was only maybe 12 weeks old. He was a rescue.
Uh-huh.
And he had had parvo as a puppy. And they nursed him back to health and put him up for adoption. And so he ended up with us at a very young age. And he always, in the first about year and a half that we had him, he had some horrible digestive issues. We had a real hard time with any kind of food. And it took us about a year and a half to figure out that we were either going to have to put him on a raw diet or you know, make his food, which is a lightly cooked diet. And that cleared everything up, and everything changed from then on. And he was really healthy after that. Mm-hmm. And we really didn't have many more issues. And what's so odd about all of this is that he was so young. He was only 8 years old. I thought for sure I had at least another 5 years with him.
Mm-hmm.
But the first sign that something was going on really didn't happen until just a couple of weeks ago. And he had been on a walk, and he was with my son up at his house, and they were done with the walk, and he started playing in the yard, running around with his buddy Tank, the Great Dane.
Mm-hmm.
And they ran around for a little while, and then Haas started coughing. And he coughed and coughed and coughed, and pretty soon he looked weak and wobbly, like he wasn't getting enough air, and he collapsed, and he actually passed out.
Mm.
And that was the first time that anything like that had ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a little bit of coughing bout I've noticed in the last maybe 6 or 8 months, but I always thought it was because he drank his water too fast or something. He had this funny way of drinking water. He'd stick his whole nose in underneath the water. So,
right.
it wasn't a red flag to me, but this one incident a couple weeks ago certainly was. And so we went to the doctor week before last, so just 1 week before he passed away, and they did a chest X-ray. They wanted to make sure that nothing, that his lungs looked okay and that his heart looked okay. They were particularly interested in looking at his heart to make sure that it wasn't enlarged, and they also wanted to make sure nothing was in his throat. And nothing showed up. They did extensive blood work. The X-ray looked fine. And the doctor said, well, you know, maybe he's got some bronchitis there. And he wasn't coughing in the doctor's office.
Mm-hmm.
And he really hadn't been coughing much since that episode a week earlier. So with the X-ray coming back fine and the blood work looking great, we put him on some antibiotics for you know, a possible bronchitis. The other funny thing he did, which I don't even know if this is related, but he stumbled a couple of times, like his leg was bothering him or something, and the doctor thought, you know, he might have a pinched nerve up in his neck, and so he put him on some just anti-inflammatories to see if that would help.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed in the last couple of weeks, a couple of times when he would get up from laying on the couch, that he looked really stiff. It took him a minute to kind of, but again, nothing really that alarming.
Yeah. Certainly nothing then, that would make you think that he was close to end of life.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. So the day that this happened, he was at my son's house because we had been kind of sharing the dogs. I have them a few days, and then he has them a few days because he's got a big fenced backyard that they love to play in.
Mm-hmm.
But that day, they were at the beach. He had taken the dogs to the beach, and they swam, and they ran, and they played, and Hoff seemed perfectly fine. But then near the end of their beach trip, he again got really wobbly, and he started coughing. And he coughed and coughed and kind of wheezing, and he got real wobbly, and he collapsed again, and he passed out again.
Mm.
Now, that was the second time. And then, and so my son went over to him, and he woke up, and he got up, and he seemed fine. And then he jumped into the car, and he passed out again.
Mm.
And I thought this is not good. So my son called me and said something's really wrong with Hoff.
Mm-hmm.
He's passed out twice now. So I called the doctor's office and they said get him to emergency. And so my son took him into emergency and they called me. I was on my way up, but it took us over an hour to get up there. So I was on the phone with the emergency doctor, running through all of these possible scenarios that was completely over my head. I mean, I couldn't grasp what was going on. And she named a couple of things, and then I heard euthanasia come out of her mouth. And I thought, I don't believe this is happening. This can't be. I'm stuck in a nightmare here. I don't believe this. So we got up there and to the emergency room, and they had done an ultrasound, and he was in heart failure, and she was quite certain that it was, and I can't remember what they called it. I want to say pulmonary something or another. Anyway, he went into heart failure, and so the X-ray never showed an enlarged heart. He didn't really have an enlarged heart, but with the ultrasound, they could see that the heart was having a really hard time working.
Mm-hmm.
So they were quite, and he couldn't breathe at that point without oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So it was so immediate. It was such a shock because it was so immediate. He went from being fine to, you know, end of life in a matter of hours.
Right.
I think that's the hardest part. It was so unexpected.
Yeah. And so what happened, you know, so you're on your way up there and you're talking to the vet.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of going through options, and then did you ultimately have, you know, make the choice, or did he pass on his own, or how did that happen?
No, I wish he would have passed on his own. We did have to make the choice.
Yeah.
In her opinion, he couldn't survive without oxygen and therefore wasn't really a candidate to go home and then come back on, you know, the next day to see a cardiologist. He was too far gone.
Mm-hmm.
And she is in pain.
Mm-hmm.
They brought him in with us in the room, and they had to have an oxygen tank there. And he was just wheezing and wheezing and coughing and coughing. And he looked miserable. He was very happy to see us. And thankfully, my son was able to be with him. They took him into the back room as soon as they got there to do their ultrasound and to do the preliminary evaluation on him. So my son got to be with him the whole time that he was in the back room, mm-hmm. which I was thankful for.
Yeah,
that he wasn't alone back there. But when we got there, they brought him into our room and, you know, had blankets and, you know, something soft for him to lay down on. And he looked just exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
like I had never really seen him before. Mm-hmm. He was just not in good shape. And in talking to our doctor, our vet, who was out of town at that time, unfortunately, but he did call me just a couple days ago on Monday, and he had a chance to look over the report and look at the ultrasound and all of the things that they had done in emergency. And one of my questions was, you know, if we had known sooner, could we have done something?
Mm-hmm.
And his opinion of that was, maybe, but the problem is with these dogs, with Dobermans, is that it's not uncommon
mm-hmm.
to have this condition and to go into heart failure. And he said that anything that they could have done with medication or otherwise would have prolonged the inevitable by maybe a week, maybe a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, it's not longer than maybe 6 or 8 months, but you ultimately end up with the same, having to make the same decision, or, you know, ending
right.
up with the same result,
right.
which is death.
Right.
So.
And so it's been just over a week now?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A week and one day. It was last Tuesday night.
Yeah. I bet you're probably still in shock that it's even, this is even your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much so.
Yeah.
We all go from disbelief to grieving to disbelief again. Like, you know, this just can't be real.
Yeah. So now when I,
very hard.
Yeah. When you told me, I mean, Darcy and I both, our hearts just sank. I mean, and it does, you know, anytime we hear of a, you know, anybody who loses a pet just because we know, but especially someone who we know and we knew, you know, we know how, what a big part of your and your family's life he was. And it was just like,
mm-hmm.
oh, you know, really our hearts sank pretty low when we heard about that. And it just, you know, I've been through it. Michelle's been through it. You know, we've all, a lot of us have been there and understand how hard it is and how much your heart just aches. And, you know, the grief process is a, an interesting topic. And so I'm glad to have the opportunity to, you know, talk about this today to help support you and your family and anyone who's listening who's, you know, going through this currently or even has been through it before, because it can come back for a while. And Michelle Nichols, who's the director of the AHELP Project, Animal Hospice End of Life and Palliative Care, is, you know, has her expertise is in grief counseling and really helps support the organization and really meeting their goals and helping people through this process. And so, you know, I'm really thank you for coming on the show and sharing your experience. And I know it's not an easy thing to talk about, but it's great to have this as part of this episode, since he was the inspiration for it. And this show, of course, is dedicated to him, so... So, Michelle, you, when I had mentioned, you actually had, it sounds like, somewhat of a similar experience with one of your dogs in the past. Is that right? Does it sound, after hearing Janice's story, is that true?
Actually, Mackenzie collapsed and died. So it wasn't as drawn out as Janice's. where, you know, you kind of, Janice, first of all, I'm sorry to hear, I'm so sorry about Haas, and my condolences to your family. It's a lot to be going through, and thank you again. We all learn from one another's experiences, and telling stories is a way to get it out there. So so thank you. But I did go through the same experience, Julie, and it was, but it was much quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about shock and disbelief and going in and out of this can't be happening kind of thing, or this didn't happen.
Yeah.
Just in front of me. Sometimes every death is different. Mm-hmm. And so none of them are easy. So, you know, sometimes it's like you're just being pulled over the coals, like it sounds like Janice
yeah.
and her family were. Sometimes it just happens so quickly, like often occurs with an accident, you know, like a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing is awful, too. They're all really unique.
There's no easy. None of them are easy,
mm-hmm.
whether it's expected or unexpected or...
Well... There are things that we can do to prepare ourselves.
Right.
And with the decline of an animal, sometime with a slower process, then we can move closer to acceptance in such a way where it's never easy, but it makes it a little bit more peaceful and
mm-hmm.
dignified for the animal and so forth.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk more with Michelle about grief itself. And what are some ways to help people move through the process to really, you know, heal from the pain of experiencing the death of a loved one? Talking about some tools and some activities that people can do to help just keep the emotions moving so that you don't get stuck in any part of the process. Janice, again, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your story. Before we do take a break, though, would you just let us know a little bit about Haas as an individual in his really wonderful life with you guys? What was he like?
He could have been a poster child for Doberman.
Yeah.
He was one of the sweetest, and I mean sweet to the core.
You can tell by the photos that I've posted on Facebook and on the website of him. You can tell.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. I always felt like you could see straight through to his soul through his eyes. He was that sweet, and people that met him couldn't believe what just a beautiful dog he was inside and out. And there's one person in particular that I just think is such a cute story, and that is a former manager of mine. I took Haas into the office with me on occasion,
mm-hmm.
and my manager walked down the hall and saw Haas in my office, and his first reaction was very apprehensive, and apparently as he was growing up, he had neighbors that had Dobermans that he felt were vicious, and he was terrified of the breed.
Mm.
And after he met Haas, it just totally changed his mind about the breed in general. He was that kind of a dog that he loved to be loved, and he was quite sure that everyone loved him, and he loved everybody too.
Mm.
He was just wonderful, absolutely wonderful dog.
Gave and received, it sounds, with abundance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we're going to take a quick break and just keep in touch with us, Janice, and certainly let us know or get in touch with A-Help if you need any support moving forward as you guys continue through this process.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yep. And Michelle has some parting words for you, too, before we go to break.
Janice, in case... it is comforting for you to be around other people and to tell your story as it can be for so many. Our animal caregiver support circle is in Kirkland on second Wednesdays of each month, and in Seattle at Seattle Unity Church on second Sundays of each month. And I should have noted that The Kirkland Group is at the Natural Pet Pantry, which is in the Houghton neighborhood.
Yep. And what time?
At 7 p.m. on second Wednesdays in Kirkland at Natural Pet Pantry, and at 2 p.m. In Seattle at Seattle Unity.
Okay. Great. Well, Janice,
we'll
be in touch, and we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes.
I love my dog as much as I love you. But you may say my dog will always come through.
The Natural Pet Pantry is Seattle's original source for wholesome dog and cat meals, offering 8 different protein options to accommodate your pet's dietary needs. Made locally using all U.S.-sourced ingredients, their freshly ground stews, raw or cooked, can be purchased from their 2 stores in Burien and Kirkland, most independent pet supply stores, or delivered right to your door. Go to naturalpetpantry.com for more information. I'm Julie Forbes, and my first choice for my pet's food is the Natural Pet Pantry. It's the educated choice.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Burlingame Veterinary Consulting, we cover the world of animals. This week, July 26th, it's an encore presentation of Animal World. If you've never heard Dr. Nels Rasmussen work his magic with callers and their animal friends, here's your chance. Using BEST, Bioenergetic Synchronization Technique, remotely, Dr. Nels has helped so many, he's become one of our most popular guests. Find out why on Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dogs, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedogs.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a 2-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist, www.sensitivedog.com. Hey, Dog Show fans. Does something stink in your home or car? Pure Air is a powerful odor eliminator that is the only natural food-grade product in its category. It works on bedding, kennels, litter boxes, urine, vomit, poop, even skunk spray. You know, all the fun smells our pets bring into our home. It's so non-toxic that you can literally eat it, a requirement for our home and our dogs. Spray Pure Air on anything you can put water on and let your nose watch the odor disappear. Ask for Pure Air in stores that specialize in natural, non-toxic products for home. Or visit dogradioshow.com for a link to their website. I'm Julie Forbes, your host of The Dog Show. Pure Air is the only odor eliminator you'll find in my home. You'll love it.
Get your smile on with Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. And we're back with Michelle Nichols, who's the director of A Help Project. And we were just talking with my friend Janice, who's she and her family very suddenly, their dog passed away last week, and it prompted a show on pet loss and grief. And I thought, oh, I hope Michelle can come on the show last minute to talk about this topic because this is your area of expertise, and then we can talk too afterwards about what's going on with AHELP as the purpose is to support the community with things like this. But I just, you know, I was, when we heard about Haas's death, and I was just like, ugh, I could feel it in my heart. You know, I've been there, and you've been there, and a lot of people have been there, and there's plenty of people who maybe don't value the loss of a pet as much as the loss of a human family member, and there's plenty of people who do. I know you and I are two of them. So I just wanted to say, gosh, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are having to go through this part of living with a pet, and what are some tools that, you know, through conversation that we can kind of talk about to help people? You know, nothing's going to make grief easy,
but to keep it healthy and to keep those emotions moving so that people don't get stuck. Anna, you have a lot of great ideas. So I just wanted to talk first about, you know, what can you recommend for people to do? You know, okay, like you're in Janice's shoes, you know, what do you recommend? I know, of course, everybody's different and people go through this process differently, but yeah, it's like, what do you do with kind of the one of the worst things that somebody could imagine in their life happened? You know, mm-hmm. what do you do next to cope with it as best you can?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it. I love how you put that. What do you do next?
Yeah.
Because a lot of us do have a hard time getting through the process. You don't get over it. I mean, that whole cliche of just get over the death of your loved one. You get through it.
Mm-hmm.
And in AHELP, we like to say the ease with which you get through it depends on your support systems. Now, having said that, everybody is different, as you point out, in what their support systems are.
Yeah.
Some people deal with it more privately, and they have a few trusted people that they can be absolutely honest with and express themselves. Others feel like they want to reach out, and they do want to talk about it. So it's important to identify what kind of person you are, if you have a handle on that.
Yeah.
And to just do what feels right, I guess, and respect that and honor that feeling.
Would you say that in any case, whether somebody's inclined to, you know, reach out to community and you know, go to a, you know, group or even friends,
mm-hmm.
Versus someone who's not as inclined to do that kind of thing, that in any case, it's important to express and feel,
mm-hmm.
however that may be. So perhaps it's in talking with others and listening to others, you know, mm-hmm. going to the AHELP Project's caregiver support circle or a pet loss support group somewhere
mm-hmm.
In your community, or reaching out, you know, having that just with your friends and family versus somebody who's maybe not inclined to do that but might express themselves through
mm-hmm.
art.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where it's more private, but they're still expressing and feeling what there is to feel. Because it seems like, regardless, my impression is that that's really important to do,
mm-hmm.
whatever the style may be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's a great point. You know, you brought out art, and we can talk about a resource regarding art, which we mentioned before the interview. You know, there are also, you know, some people appreciate journaling. Some people write a book. John Katz is, you know, a regular on this show. Some people, you know, as I said, you know, just go to, you know, their one partner. Some people have a hard time getting through it and don't have a special person, or they don't have anyone that really gets it.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they just have a hard time working through day-to-day goings on. They can't go to work and so on. We call that, we recommend to those people to consider a counselor.
Yeah.
And there are a few pet loss therapists, licensed therapists that can take your, you know, can see people in an appointment and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So there are other things that you can do. I personally believe that unless there's some kind of a active process, you know, doing something, anything, like I say, journaling, which is can be very private,
mm-hmm.
Or art, which can also be very private, or sharing that with another person, I think that you need to move through it. You don't want to get in that stuck process, and you don't want to stuff it down,
mm-hmm.
because if that happens, it comes out in the most unsavory ways,
mm-hmm.
You know, in the day-to-day activities, and the middle of work, in the middle of, you know, with your next animal friend. and that can really be a hard one. People go and look for a replacement dog, go and adopt from the shelter, and then they bring them home, and they just really can't wrap their head around this new one because they're still wrapped in the grief of the old,
yeah,
of the last.
I imagine it could also manifest in a physical ailment.
Mm-hmm. You know, some,
sure.
Because as emotions can do. One of the things you said first off when I asked you was, you know, well, what do you recommend for people to do would be some sort of ritual, like ceremony,
mm-hmm.
to, you know, like we do for humans, to mm-hmm. acknowledge. And that could look a number of different ways. That could be a private thing. It could be the person mm-hmm. going and sprinkling their pet's ashes in some of their favorite spots, mm-hmm. or having community, you know, mm-hmm. having some sort of ceremony, or even just having some friends get together and have some wine, as you suggested, mm-hmm. and just, you know, kind of acknowledge. When we did that event with Rainbow Bridge Hearts a couple, almost 2 years ago, mm-hmm. I think, in the fall, it was so, you know, I mean, that all the, so many parts of that were really special, but there was that sort of part at the end when we all took a flower. With Diane was the leader of that, and we all took a flower and took turns sharing about our pet, who we were there remembering, and just getting to talk about it, and then listen to other people, and of course everybody's crying, and
mm-hmm.
and there's a that for me when I went through the loss of my first dog. You know, the first dog that I had, and as an adult, Chewy, that was really an important part for me. It was like being around community. I went to a pet loss support group. This was pre-A help, I think. Yeah. And that was 7 months after he had died, you know? I mean, it wasn't like 7 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And that was still a really, really wonderful experience.
Mm-hmm.
Community is really powerful. I'm an extroverted person, though, so I'm going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So a ritual or ceremony, and then remembrance items are great. We mentioned Rainbow Bridge Hearts, these glass-blown pieces that swirl your pet's ashes in. They're really beautiful. They're locally made here in Seattle, but you can order them from anywhere. And it only uses about a teaspoon of your pet's ashes, so you don't have to hand them all over if you wanted to do other things with the ashes as well. And then there's also... fused memories. So will you tell us a little bit about that? I'm not familiar with them.
So Mimi Handland is a social worker who is also a professional network member. And so interesting that when you contacted me about coming on to talk about grief, Julie, I had visited Mimi's home studio that day. Mimi, as I said, is a licensed social worker who does fused glass remembrance items, and during that time you have her full attention. She'll teach you how to make the item, whether it be a pendant or a keepsake or a touchstone, and you'll get a counseling a moment to share. She's been through a lot of her own personal death experiences, and we all learn from them. Of course, but then also her own personal, her professional background, so comes into that.
So, does this involve the animal's ashes, or are
mm-hmm.
these? It does.
Mm-hmm.
So they're making these pieces, fused glass pieces, and the person actually makes it themselves. You're not watching her make
mm-mm,
them.
Mm-mm.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So it's very hands-on. And there are other things too. This holiday season. We're considering doing a healing art, hosting a healing art session, if you will. We always do something around the holidays because we know that that's a special time.
Mm-hmm.
Things, memories of years past come up so poignantly. And so you can look for that. But we always do something in the holidays
mm-hmm.
because it does come up again and again. And artwork can be a wonderful way of remembering.
Yeah, and then having something that, like with these glass pieces, something beautiful
mm-hmm.
to have to
mm-hmm.
bring back.
Absolutely.
That animal's presence.
And it doesn't have to be a lot. It doesn't have to be a big, it doesn't have to be a big deal. You don't have to be able to invest a lot of money in it.
Yes.
You know, we always recommend people or suggest that they might set up a tribute table following the passing of their loved one, whether animal or human, where it's sort of an altar in their home, a place that's designated, and you can put in, oh, you're anything, you know. You can put in their collar, you know, their water bowl, some food, a treat a container. Some people choose to burn incense or frankincense, a nice aroma that they appreciate. Pictures, of course, come into that. And to have it be a place in your home where people even ask about it, you know, visitors, because that sharing can be important way of expressing and finding out that you have a safe person there. That they showed an interest means that they can empathize. One other thing I wanted to bring out too is just in the course of your day to day, if you are an extroverted, especially individual, you can let's say you're going to work and no one knows. So especially for Janice, not knowing what her day-to-day is, her day-to-day activities are, you know, putting on a small picture of your animal, you know, maybe getting a little teeny frame, carrying around in your pocket with your animal's picture, sometimes just like a ribbon, you know, to, you know, that might express what it is. And some people will ask about that, or you can bring it up if you get teary-eyed in the produce section of your grocery store and you are talking to the grocery person, just saying, I'm sorry, I just, you know, looking at those carrots reminded me I used to feed my, you know, my animal friend this, and I'm sorry, I'm teary. You know, that kind of a thing. That even those very small things can be meaningful.
One of the things that I thought of in listening to you talk about pet loss in particular are, as I've talked with people who have gone through this, and I've, you know, gone through it myself, is like, at what point they sort of will leave the food bowls where they were, they leave the beds where they were, and there's a certain point in the process where somebody feels like ready to actually let go of those parts of the pet almost that from, you know, in the living space. And I just remembered how that's one of many layers of the process of kind of like, oh, you know, and then there's the dog's bed. And at what point do you let go of that and the food bowls and those really kind of personal items that you associate with the animal? I took a class in school, one of the best classes that as far as life preparation went. So I was an animal science major, but I took I was a general animal science rather than being like pre-vet or equine or something like that. So I had a lot of flexibility for electives, and I took a lot of sociology classes. And I took a class called The Social Organization of Death and Dying. And it was one of my favorite classes. And it really examined all over the world, including this country, how different cultures relate to death. And there was a video I remember watching of these different countries, how they, in some cultures, there's this big party, this big celebration of, you know, moving on and, you know, and there's all these different sort of flavors around it. But one of the things that I remember that has really stayed with me since that class, and I'm so grateful for, is really, you know, a lot of people might have an inclination to avoid bringing it up because they don't want to upset the person. But actually, it is actually helpful if you have the rapport with the person enough to bring it up and ask them how they're doing so that they have an opportunity to express themselves. Because it's like, oh, I didn't want to upset you. I didn't want to make you sad. Well, they're sad. You know, the sadness is there. So if you're actually bringing it up and giving somebody the opportunity to share what they're feeling in that moment can be really helpful to the grief process. So just encouraging you, if you're listening and you know somebody who's going through this, maybe you're not going through it, but you know somebody who's recently lost a pet or loved one, to ask them, how are you feeling? And just acknowledging that rather than kind of avoiding it and just trying to make everything cheerful. Because that's not true.
Right. Well, it's important to know that you are kind of a safe harbor,
yeah.
you know, and I can trust that person to get it. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people who in this world, you know, reach out on Facebook, for instance.
Yeah.
On Mondays, we have Memory Monday on our A-Help Project Facebook page,
mm-hmm.
Where we encourage people to share their stories, and we look to our community for shows of support. So you might be surprised where you get those, helping hands and pats on your back and, you know, little heart emoticons and mm-hmm. things like those that mm-hmm. Can be meaningful too.
Yeah. I remember when I did my show in 2009, right after my dog died, I just talked about my experience and then opened up the phone lines and just invited people to call in and share their experiences. And we had a number of callers, mm-hmm. people who were just listening and called in and talked about their dog who died. And it was really, really a wonderful experience. And a lot of people know what it feels like. Okay, well, why don't we take a break? And when we come back, I just want to talk a little bit more about grief and how you can support yourself or others who are going through a grief process over the loss of a loved one. And then we can also talk about what's going on, what's new with the A-Help Project. So let's take a quick break. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes.
Your dog didn't hate going to the vet? Wish you were welcomed by a team who cared? Jet City Animal Clinic is an enjoyable respite from the same old thing. Dr. Anderson and her team have created a full-service facility that combines veterinary expertise with a comfortable style. Jet City Animal Clinic is located in Seattle's Capitol Hill neighborhood on 12th Avenue across from Seattle U. Bring your crazy questions, odd ideas, and alternative thinking. Jet City Animal Clinic will work with you to keep your furry family members healthy and happy. Traditionally educated with an open mind, call us at 206-329-0253 or email info@jetcityanimalclinic.com to make an appointment. Jet City Animal Clinic, a unique approach to the health care of your urban pet. A local family practice. JetCityAnimalClinic.com.
Pure Air's powerful formula lets you eliminate pet odors safely. It's strong enough to effectively get rid of smells like urine, plus stronger odors like those that can be caused by illness. Pure Air is safe enough to spray directly onto people, animals, or use in the bath or laundry. Pure Air is perfect for dealing with dire situations, refreshing your dog between baths, or just before company comes. Pure Air is the most effective product you can buy to remove stinky pet odors safely. Find it at stores like Mud Bay, McClendon's, and Natural Pet Pantry, or visit their website, pureair.com. That's pure, A-Y-R-E.com. I'm Julie Forbes, host of The Dog Show. Pure Air is the only odor eliminator you'll find in my home. You'll love it.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. At some point, almost all of us have had at least one great idea that we know could make the world a better place and line our pockets. But most of us get stuck in the execution of that great idea. Stanford University professor Tina Seelen can help. Her new book, Inside Out, is filled with surprising research, inspiring examples from her Stanford classroom, and real-world stories from around the globe. Join us every Monday at noon Pacific on Alternative Talk 1150. And for past shows at conversationslive.net.
The Natural Pet Pantry is Seattle's original source for wholesome dog and cat meals, offering 8 different protein options to accommodate your pet's dietary needs. Made locally using all U.S.-sourced ingredients, their freshly ground stews, raw or cooked, can be purchased from their 2 stores in Burien and Kirkland, most independent pet supply stores, or delivered right to your door. Go to naturalpetpantry.com for more information. I'm Julie Forbes, and my first choice for my pet's food is the Natural Pet Pantry. It's the educated choice.
Time for something different. Time for Alternative Talk 1150.
You're gonna miss me by my hair.
Welcome back to the Dog Show with Julie Forbes. And we're back talking with Michelle Nichols, who's the director of the A-Help Project. And our topic today is pet loss and grief and end of life. The whole ball of wax, right? Everything about it. And we were talking, what prompted this show is that a friend of mine, she and her family very suddenly lost their Doberman. He passed away, and it came on very quickly, and they certainly were not expecting it. And when I heard of this event last week, I thought it's time to do a show about pet loss and grief to help support anyone out there listening who's going through this process as well, because it's, you know, I've been through it, Michelle's been through it, and we know how hard it can be. So we were talking in the first part of the show actually with Janice, my friend, who shared about her experience with Haas and his, you know, what kind of happened, and then just about him as an individual and what a sweet, gentle soul he was. And then Michelle and I have been talking about grief and some different tools. If you've missed any part of this episode or any of our over 300 shows, you can find them online at dogradioshow.com. That's our website. They're all archived there. You can also go to iTunes and download The Dog Show with Julie Forbes for free as a free audio podcast. And all of our shows also get posted directly to our Facebook page. So you can go to Facebook and search for The Dog Show with Julie Forbes and find us there. And you can also find A-Help on Facebook as well. It's A-Help Project. And participate with their community on Facebook is great. So you had said, you know, one of the sort of aspects of pet loss is the, you know, and I mean, death, everybody's death is unique and different, regardless if it's human or animal. But the conversation of euthanasia, a lot of times people are kind of faced with that decision just because of how things happen, or if it's an accident, or if the dog just dies suddenly, like what happened to you with one of your dogs, and how different feelings can come up. I know one thing that I've heard a lot of people say, and I experienced this a bit myself, was the sort of, if you're in a situation where you're making a choice about the timing of euthanasia to, you know, prevent suffering, usually is questioning that after the fact. You know, was it the right time? Should I have done more? And then you brought up, Michelle, if it was an accidental death, you know, feelings of guilt that can come up, that can kind of complicate grief. But, you know, and just acknowledging all of those things. And then, you know, with what you really, one of the things that you really aim to do sort of in an ideal situation with part of what you do with A-Help Project is the hospice portion of it, where people can to some degree plan it out. So we only have a few minutes left, like three. But just talk a little bit about that, and I can really see the value in just if somebody has a dog who's older, not necessarily sick, but just sort of getting into that conversation so that if and when it does happen, even if suddenly you've had some emotional preparation.
Mm-hmm. Well, quality of life is always key.
Yeah.
And that's what we all want, everyone says. We just want them to be comfortable.
Yeah.
And so through our caregiver supports, we have been offering email and phone support that can help people prepare for the end, which is, you know, maybe further than some people think, maybe closer.
Yeah.
But recently we've expanded our caregiver support program to where we also do comprehensive care in-home visits.
Mm-hmm.
A hallmark of hospice is using a transdisciplinary team, so multi-talented providers. Of course, a veterinarian is always a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they make a statement on, or they make, you know, an opinion on where your animal is. And vet techs can also be a part of it because they do the backup nursing work. We always go into the home with those folks, myself, who's a hospice care worker, and we help people and a volunteer
mm-hmm.
who has a special talent in Reiki or massage, so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And we come into the home and we help people to build a plan for their animal's kind of best ending. which is based on their values, their goals, and their beliefs for this animal, looks into what are their past experiences, what do they want to avoid, or I call them the lines in the sand, you know, what do you feel you can cope with, what can you deal with, and so forth, and we reevaluate those goals as the time comes up. Like incontinence, for instance, you know. Mm-hmm. Now we are here to this place where they're not holding their bladder. Are you interested in diapering? And they're like, the spark is still in his eyes. I'm not ready for him to go. And so let's talk about what that's involved.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the point is that through those in-home visits, through the email and phone follow-up, people are able to get their head wrapped around the fact that this is imminent and this is coming. And then we find that they come into acceptance about at the same time where their animal is letting go.
Mm-hmm.
Euthanasia decisions then can be more straightforward. They have been visualizing the euthanasia, as we suggest, and or natural death options can be pursued, again, if quality of life is maintained and their choices are there based on what their veterinary care team says.
Right. And every situation is so different, but the more that you can prepare, the easier the process will be, perhaps the more clear somebody's going to be able to move through that and make mm-hmm. choices when the time comes.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you can find A Help Project on project.org. That's A-H-E-L-P project.org. You can connect with them through there. You can find them on Facebook. You can also find us on Facebook as well, and I'll post this show if you've missed any part of it or if you feel you know someone who would benefit from it. That's an easy way to pass it on would be just the link through Facebook, our Facebook page. Just search for The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Facebook. You can find us there.
And if you'd like to know more about our caregiver support program at ahelpproject.org and then look for caregiver support under the About tab, and then you can read more about it. And we work with your vet as well, so you can send your vets to learn more about it, too.
Great. Well, Michelle, thanks so much for your time today. And if you're out there experiencing the loss of a pet, just know that we know how hard it is and we know how you feel. Thanks for listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes.
Expressed on the preceding program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. Contests mentioned during this program are the program and not